Hey there, this is your old buddy Tom, the Toonami Operations Module. Settle in, it's about to get good. Toonami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough. This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me, I've waited long enough.
As I gaze up on the beautiful abyss of outer space, I can't help but reminisce on how we held onto our faith. Gold is how we stayed till the day that time would say that Toonami's back, bitches. Pardon my francais. Now every week the absolution blasts off while the masses watch as an old familiar mascot by the name of Tom takes a seat and kicks the broadcast off, making major moves like a triple cut backdrop. I still remember watching Nebion doing damage and thinking, damn, is Goku ever gonna reach Namek? Obviously I got a lot of love for the classics. The speed at which I used to run home to watch was the fastest. Absolution moving, flying through the galaxy. Toonami's back, the slap in the face to those who doubted it. Remain Toonami faithful till the day that I am gray and old, and like a Super Saiyan's glow, I will always stay gold.
This is Nerdcore Absolution. Come to peace with your inner nerd, and after you can stay gold like T.O.M. Chilling out the galaxy and we know him. Putting tunes up that'll keep you up. Glued to the screen like you do too much. The galaxy is ours, the sun and the stars. Toonami's on and chilling hard.
Watching closely from a perch among the stars as viewers await the moment when the spirit bomb can charge Hito Yui self.
Hey there, my Toonami generation, and welcome to once again a new episode of the Intergalactic Graphic Review. I am your host, Thomas Frontime Mattis, and of course, joining me as always is the man with a plan that you just can't figure out.
Spooch loves Grokner!
Loyal Spooch! Did you fix the radio?
After 4 months, Spooch did good, didn't he, Grognar?
No, you selfish child.
Wow, I went Scottish for a second.
You've been waiting 4 months to do that, too.
I don't even remember when Ninja Turtles Season 3 premiered. So maybe.
Guys, this is all on me. There's a lot of reasons why there hasn't been an episode for a long time. Part of that is the last time we recorded, I was absolutely crap that night. And that's on me.
He was possessed by the ghost of John Byrne, and he said awful things about transgender people. It was terrible.
We have to get into that, don't we?
Well, it's John Byrne. Do we really need to talk about the fact that he's an awful human being?
Again, I think I posted on Facebook. Well, that particular day, I was really pissed off when you posted that stuff on Facebook, and I'm like, I'm getting too old for this shit. I'm too tired for this shit. You know what? I'm going to revert to the best John Byrne expert I know, Michael Bailey. Buddy, have fun.
And Michael Bailey was like, nope.
Nope. That's probably the most controversial thing I've ever seen John Byrne actually say. We'll get to that in a second.
John Byrne you know that day where you just keep running off at the mouth, and that little voice is telling you, God, God, please, shut up, please, for the love of God, shut up. I don't think John Byrne has that voice.
Yeah, well, let's say, because we have a lot of controversies to get to. I'm sure you'll bring up all of them that have happened in the past 4 months.
I've forgotten most of them.
Well, I need to get over why we haven't had a show in such a long time. This recording happened, what was it? March? Early March?
Somewhere in there, before Jared Leto decided he wanted to single-handedly hurt the Joker.
We'll talk about that, too. We recorded. Edwin was wonderful, and it wasn't so much audio-wise it was crap, it was, I just was not on point that night, and I don't know if it was I was too emotional about the subject or whatever.
Here's the Crib Notes version. Somebody made a really stupid Batgirl cover, and DC's press publicly.
Let's say, somebody made a variant Batgirl cover, and the internet lost its fucking mind. Edwin was on one side, I was on the other. I cannot articulate my version without, at least the way I felt listening in post, sounding like a complete jackass, because I could not find the right words.
And then the more important story was the fact that the Teen Titans crossed with Young Justice and pretended to be serious, and the internet lost its goddamn mind.
Yeah, we also recorded something on that. So just to let you know, there will be a lost episode coming after this episode, which will combine the two things, because we had like a midnight session where we just talked shit.
It was mostly like, oh my god, get on the thing, we have to talk about this, the best thing is coming.
Yeah, Edwin literally dragged me on the internet.
It's Teen Titans making fun of Young Justice fanboys. It doesn't get better than that.
That's your opinion.
And of course, you know, the thing I forgot to talk about, which was the Jason Momoa Aquaman thing. Which,
Well, let's get to it. We'll get to it in a second, because again, there's so much for us to do. Because that's going to be the first segment, by the way, is, first segment is what we missed. And then I think the second segment will be us talking, I think, Convergence and Secret Wars and, you know, all the things that what we think of what's happened, what we think about what they're planning to do, and all of that jazz. And then, by the way, there is still more I have to talk. I apologize. The other reason why we haven't had to is because of me, because of technology reasons. You kind of remember I made mention in February that shit always goes down in February, and I was so happy that like shit didn't go down this year in February. Well, apparently it all got pushed back to April and May. I was experiencing a lot of things with this desktop that nobody could figure out, and I still haven't completely figured it out, but I know it has something to do with a program not properly shutting down when I use it. So I have not used that program since on this desktop. And the other was, of course, my laptop, which I could have used it, but one, I do not have the call recording software on there. For those who don't know, I use Pamela to record off of Skype. Though I've heard from a lot of people that just both of us using Audacity at the same time sounds so much better.
I'm not using Audacity right now.
I understand that, but I'm saying I know from like our friends Michael Bailey and Scott Gardner, I've heard that you won't all have what to record with somebody, and if they're not there with them, they'll like both use Audacity. Both callers will use Audacity, and then one will send it to the guy who's editing it, and then just like they sync it up and edit.
This is getting cut out, right?
No.
Because professionalism.
Because we are pimping our friends.
Scott,
because
Gardner,
it's
Scott
part of
Gardner,
our drinking
Scott Gardner,
game.
There, we've done it.
It's our drinking game. Every time we mention Scott Gardner and Michael Bailey, someone has to take a shot.
And let's all just talk about the wonderfulness that is Trentus Magnus punching reality.
Yes. Or the anime freaks.
Two true freaks.
Podcasted network at www.22freaks.libsyn.com.
There, they blew their load. We filleted them enough. Can we move on?
So, you know, those are pretty much the reasons why there hadn't been. It's all on me. I apologize, folks. You know, again, because, again, unlike maybe other podcasters, I actually take credit for my own bullshit. No one can say I don't. So I guess that means it's time for us to move on to our topics, our first segment of the night, which, as I said, is entitled Shit We've Missed While We've Been Dumbasses. You've brought out... And you brought up a couple of them. Well, where do we start? We could start with Jared Leto. We could start with Jason Mraz. We could start with John Byrne. Where do you want to start?
Oh, sweet. Oh, my God. I'm actually working my way backwards. There's the Outhousers has like 33 pages of things we've missed. Of things we've missed. I'm just looking through the search engine of crap we've missed.
Just name a couple.
Oh, my God. Doctor Who came back. Convergence happened.
Convergence later.
Dear God. Deadpool started filming. Gem and the Holograms trailer.
And the internet lost its goddamn mind. And then Gem and the Holograms trailer debuted, and the internet lost its goddamn mind.
That was an awful thing.
Did the Power Ranger, did that dark fan Power Ranger fan film happen?
Oh my god, that damn thing, MMPR. Oh, why would you remind me of that?
Goddamn minds. Pretty much every controversy was something happened, and the internet collectively lost its goddamn mind and forgot how to be rational.
I know where we're starting. Girl Thor. Jane Foster is female Thor.
Really? What a goddamn shock.
And you know what? That would be awesome. However, she has cancer and lady cancer. And
lady cancer?
Breast cancer.
Oh. Why didn't you say breast cancer then?
Because I wanted to bring out the fact that, of course, it would be breast cancer, because we wanted to make sure that they understood that this is a cancer that women get, and that becoming Thor makes it worse. So, unlike everyone else who's become Thor, her using her power, she is making her lady parts sicker. So you see, you can get strong girls, but you can't get too strong, because you'll get cancer.
Oh my god, I'm done. I'm just walking away right now. I'm done. I'm done. Bye. Just be walking the goddamn motherfucker away. I'm done. Bye. Take over the show, everyone.
He'll be back. He'll be back.
Now that I'm back from raging, what? I mean, how do I explain this? Why? Again, I haven't been following Thor. I think it's commendable for them to show somebody who has cancer willing to do a heroic thing, even though it's causing more harm to them.
You know what?
I mean, they do that with men, too. This is not just something only women, just women. There have been men to where the power hurts them, and yet they still use it.
This has never been a thing with Thor, though.
I understand that. Do we completely understand why it's hurting her?
You know, actually, no, because she refused treatment. A sick person refused treatment because the writers wanted to drag out a story and make her seem noble. And coming from somebody whose family has had breast cancer, if I found out my relatives refused treatment that could make them better faster, I would hit them.
But this brings up something, and we'll be talking about personal when it comes to comics a lot, I think, tonight. Certain storylines hit us more personally than others, and sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. Sometimes the personal connection is an important part to enjoying a series, you know. As I'll bring up with Spider-Man later, one of the reasons I'm so connected with Peter Parker is because I've developed this personal feeling to where he is family to me. But the flip side of that is sometimes when a storyline touches on a subject that, you know, like somebody not getting cancer treatment so that they can do something heroic, or...
No, she refused cancer treatment before she found out she was doing something heroic. She did it because she didn't want to take the easy way out and get Asgardian medicine.
So I understand. But still, either way, somebody may be not doing the right thing. And something that, unlike cancer, that make it hit hard to home. Or, you know, as we talked with Batgirl, the ideas of violence against women or domestic violence or things like that. When they hit home like that, sometimes... it's so personal that we can't pop out and look at the story contextually. In particular, the fact that stories like this that have such personal emotions and such real emotions going through them, I get this feeling like you're judging as the story that's not complete yet. And until the story is fully complete, we really can't. We're going to judge it.
Yeah, we're going to judge it. That's what you do with the story. You know,
but at the same point in time, I think we also have to come back to it a year later, like, okay, so they did this with it, and now it works.
You know what? I would feel that way, probably. Except, A, I'm tired of bullshit nobility in comics. Like, trying to create a sense of mature storytelling by having characters make decisions no sane person would. And B, I'm tired of Cantor being used as a cheap means of getting sympathy or building pathos. Because I just came off of Daredevil, where Foggy had cancer.
Well, but also, let's be honest here. You've always had a problem. Anybody who's listened to you, as we've done Intergalactic Graphic Review, and when it was back when we were doing Comic Book Crazy, you've always had a problem with the fact that, you know, this is comics. They can cure anything if they wanted to.
It's not that they can cure anything if they wanted to. It's the fact that, okay, let me put it this way. There was a comic book that was essentially Sex in the City for Marvel characters. And it starred Black Cat.
Marvel Divas.
Marvel Divas, thank you.
Yes, I know, because I have the series, yeah. And I have the poster.
Yeah, and so you remember when that Firestorm...
Yes, and what was it? It wasn't Patsy Walker. Was it Patsy Walker, or was it...
Firestorm.
No, her name wasn't Firestorm.
Firestar?
No. Yeah, Firestar.
Yeah, she got cancer. Yeah, remember how that was pretty much, she went to the superhero doctor that she has access to because that's their community they live in, and within the same issue or within the first bound volume, that was not a problem anymore?
Well, it was a 4-issue limited series, and by the end of the series, she did not have cancer anymore.
Yeah, and that wasn't even the big part of it. She, you know, she was maybe the first issue or two?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be dragged out to try so that the writers can try to bring in the fans. Be like, this really touched me when you talked about cancer. You know, they're basically trying to use cancer to drudge up pathos.
But to play devil's advocate here. Okay? What about, you know, somebody who may be going through cancer, they read that book and it hits them and it gives them the courage to champion on, and it is a part of maybe what helps them overcome cancer.
Okay. How to formulate this?
As you're writing topics in the...
Yeah. It's all the stuff we've missed, folks. But let's say, at the same time, let's put, she has access to a means of getting better. And she has decided to forego that for something, let's say, for something that works not as well. Something that could potentially kill her. Because that's what chemotherapy is, a potential side effect of chemotherapy. Let's say you have a relative with cancer, and they say, no, that's this modern medicine, no. I'm going to do it the homeopathic way. How would you as a reader feel if you saw that in a comic?
What's the homeopathic way? Again, I'm
herbs,
not dealt any-
herbs and flushes and all that stuff. Or as I call it, quack medicine.
It depends. Well, but obviously, it depends on the character, and it depends on, I think, the person. I don't know what I would feel. I honestly don't. Because it depends on how the story is being written. It depends on the character. There's a lot of what-ifs in that. And yes, I'm not saying it's not right to, you know, to be angry. But again, they're trying to pull on emotion. And you either like that or you don't. And that's all I think I'm getting to on that.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said,
that's not a fair statement.
Probably. And, you know, in my case, A, I don't like, you know, being my comics trying to emotionally manipulate me.
Yes.
And you know, two, I found the way that they did that kind of... I took a lot of issues with the decisions they made.
And that's fair. And everybody's entitled to that. But again, and I think that's why I'm saying, like, it hits everybody differently, you know. I mean, let's also be honest about something with media. I mean, this is especially true with news. But the fact is, all of entertainment is some form of manipulation. This is something that I've been thinking about in the past couple months. You know, we categorize manipulation as this bad word. The fact of the matter is, manipulation is not necessarily a bad word, because everybody manipulates. I mean, chefs manipulate food using different techniques and everything to create different tastes and fool your taste buds. So manipulation, it goes back to another word I think I'll be bringing up a lot, which is context. I think we've lost the idea of context. You know, we've become so emotional that we just live off our emotions, and we don't pull back and look at the context of what's happening.
Maybe. Okay. I mean, yeah, there are fans who do that. Yeah. If you were saw my Facebook feed when they started talking about this, I actually gave a very, what I felt was a very logical and pointed explanation of my stance on this.
Yeah. Which is a good reason why everybody should check out your Facebook page. So, moving on to the next subject, as you continue to write them. you'll have to speak on this. Frank Miller's Batman, The Master Race.
I think there's only really one word. Why? No works, too.
No, both have worked. So there's two words, no and why.
Why, Frank Miller? Why, DC? Why do you continue to give him a venue?
Isn't this supposed to be like the sequel to Dark Knight Returns or Dark Knight Strikes Again?
Something like that. And, I mean, and again, Frank Miller... kind of creeping me out by naming it The Master Race. Considering he has a thing about Nazi imagery, I'm a little scared.
I think, you know, Frank Miller is just one of those people, and I'm, again, this is not me defending him or saying that everything he does is good, because by no means is everything he does good. Though a large part of my early childhood... in regards to being a RoboCop fan, shaped by him.
And that was when Frank...
So over the past 4 months, I saw the new RoboCop movie. I'm not saying it's as good as the original. I think it's different, but I still enjoyed it. And by the way, as we're recording this past Monday, they released the latest epic rap battle was RoboCop versus the Terminator.
An emotionally dead human with a robotic voice and attitude. And the Terminator.
But yeah, it's... You know, Frank... It's rough, because Frank Miller did a lot of good stuff back in the day. Stuff that is influential.
Two things you already said that are important. Did and back in the day.
Absolutely. But again, let's be honest. And this is happening over and over. You know, and sometimes it is good. Like, you know, Final Fantasy VII, the remake that they're doing. You know, sometimes it's good to visit the past.
Yes.
A lot of times, though, it is.
I mean, we had that...
It's one of those cases where it isn't. You know, he did his thing. You know, it's become too formulaic, and it's like, it's just...
He lost his goddamn mind. He lost... his goddamn mind. I mean, I think we should have all agreed that he lost his goddamn mind when we saw Holy Terror.
I think we should have said he lost his goddamn mind when we saw Batman and Robin All-Stars.
Wait, which came first?
I don't know. But the first one I saw was Batman and Robin All-Stars.
All-Star Batman and Robin?
All-Star Batman and Robin, thank you.
Yep. Frank the goddamn Batman Miller.
Yeah. So, and don't get me wrong, he's dark and gritty. I mean, let's be fair about this. And I'm not even just talking about being influential. The stuff he did in the 80s was really good. Because it really pushed the limits to what comics could be. But a lot of that has been abused over the past, 20, 25 years?
Counterpoint. Frank Miller was basically just jumped on Alan Moore's dick and rode that thing to the to the sunset.
Well played, sir. I don't completely agree with it, but you know what? There is no coming back to a lie like that. You get the point. God damn it, stop writing, because I'm like, wait, I was there, and then boop, boop, boop. Okay, so next point that you wrote that we've missed over the past 4 months, Iceman came out as gay, which I kind of call bullshit on, at least in the part where they say he came out. He didn't exactly came out.
Oh,
I read what happened, because I do remember this.
He was outed. He wasn't even outed. He was flat out told he was gay by Jean Grey. Who did it?
Actually, no. Was it Jean Grey? I thought it was Jean Grey's daughter, Rachel.
No, that was Jean Grey from the past.
Jean Grey from the past? Okay.
Yeah.
Either way, told you're gay.
In the now, worst way possible. I read that, I'm like, wow, Jean, you have no tact. Who wrote you?
That's number one, and I'm like, really? We really wanted to go with that robot chicken sketch. Really?
Yep.
God damn you.
And you know what? I originally went into it, what about all this history? But then I actually read like one or two articles about it, talking about how there were hints about this in the years to come, including the fact that he dated two shapeshifters who spent a lot of time as dudes. And the fact that they brought up one issue from the Claremont run where he brought Rogue home to meet his very nasty father. It's like, wow, if he had come out and just said he was gay at the end of that, I really would not have been surprised.
Wait a minute, his really nasty daughter?
Father.
It sounded like you put a D onto it.
Sorry, popcorn joke.
Throw some D's on it. Sorry. I'm a horrible human being.
That's just because you want the D.
I want the DXD, whose season ended last Sunday. God, so glorious. Anyways, back on track. No, it's just... You know, but here's the thing. So the fact that, and I understand, I guess there were clues, but at the same point in time, my first thought when I heard they, again, and I said it before, but my first thought when I heard they turned Iceman gay was, so they must have been really influenced by Robot Chicken.
Maybe Robot Chicken was influenced by the comics, and it's all Inception-y.
Yes, it really is. And it's like, really? Really. Anyways, again, I don't think we have necessarily a problem with any character coming out as gay. I think the problem here is that it feels very shifty and feels very gimmicky.
You know what? I originally thought it wasn't even that it was gimmicky, which that's also awful. It was the fact that it kind of felt like it just went like, hey, he's gay now. See all the history? No. But, you know, there's actually stuff to back it up, so I'm going to work with it.
For most characters, a lot of characters, you can make anything work. I mean, there's always retconning, but, you know. Then again, not people like that. Now, you'll have to speak on the next one. Days of Future Past, Jubilee is a dope.
No, not Jubilee is a dope. They've shown images from the shooting of Days of Future Past. Jubilee looks dope.
Oh, looks dope. Oh, like good.
Yes.
Okay.
Sheila...
It can't be Day... Wait. It can't be Days of Future Past, because that was the last X-Men movie. Do you mean Apocalypse?
Yes. Yes, I did.
See, this is why I was a bit confused. I was thinking, are you talking about the comic that's part of the Secret War run? I'm like, oh no, wait, you're talking about the movie, which is called Apocalypse.
Yes.
Because despite Marvel apparently trying to trash the X-Men comics in hopes that it will, you know, reduce interest in it.
You know what?
Fox is running with that movie franchise.
You know, I like what they're doing with the X-Men, though. X-Men never fit into the Marvel Universe. There were always these weird seams. And putting them on a whole other planet, I'm okay with this.
Is that what's been confirmed is going to happen?
I think that's what I've heard is going to happen.
But has it happened yet?
I don't think it's happened. I don't think they're done with Secret Wars.
We'll see what happens with Secret Wars. So, but you say, I mean, I haven't seen the picture, so, of Jubilee.
Ooh, here's one I didn't see before. We may get a Tangled TV series.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
That's just an aside.
Yeah.
Pass that over.
But again, you can speak on what she looks like. Again, I haven't seen it.
She looks like Jubilee.
Like 1990s X-Men animated series?
They went super 90s looking, because it's in the 90s, and there's an Asian chick in yellow with bubble gum and all that stuff.
And the pink glasses?
I believe so, on Apocalypse.
Okay, I'm watching this movie now.
Yep.
Done!
I mean, it's hard to screw up Jubilee. They made her a vampire and a mommy, and I still like Jubilee. I am seeing pink sunglasses, and pigtails, and mom shorts.
I'm happy. We're happy.
Yay!
Thank you, Fox. You also put here the Superman trailer and pilot leaked.
Supergirl.
Wow. Yeah, I said Supergirl, right?
No, you said Superman.
Oh,
Supergirl.
Supergirl, yeah. Supergirl's pilot and trailer leaked.
You know what? It had weird shades of kind of a WB young woman's dramedy. And I'm okay with that.
Well, you just said three words that scared me. WB women's comedy.
Because she's a young woman in the city. She deals with her boss. And dudes kind of hitting on her. And then it becomes a Supergirl pilot.
Again, you know what? I want to be very much fair. Because
Favorable. Be favorable. I'm behind.
The episode that didn't get released that we talked about Supergirl's costume?
Oh, the costume? Yeah, we did. And I still like it.
So,
I really do love that costume.
I'm okay with it. The only thing I didn't like was the leggings. It's the only thing I don't like. Because I don't see the need for them. And I think it's too PC.
You know what? I don't think we need to see up her skirt while flying.
I'm not asking to look up her skirt while she's flying.
No, but, you know, the tights kind of... It's...
She can still wear tights under them. I'm just saying the leggings.
Leggings are tights.
Hmm.
Well, you weren't going to get her running around... in with just a skirt and bare legs. It looks... I mean, as... the costume is okay now, but if we went with the classic Supergirl look, it'd be kind of silly, live action.
I don't know. They did it in the 90s, and it was successful.
It was the 90s!
Yeah, and the 90s are goddamn awesome. For a lot of reasons.
We need to have a talk.
No, we don't. Goddamn you. But again, I think I'm being completely fair. I don't like everything about the costume. I didn't say I hated the costume. I just said I didn't like everything about the costume. And the same with what I've heard about the trailer and pilot and everything. I want to sit down and watch an actual first episode first before I pass any judgment.
Which leaked.
Well, I actually want to support the show, so I'm going to watch the first episode when it actually debuts.
As am I. And so, I'm going to find that pilot. Because I have to wait till November. And my hype engines only run so far.
We need to update your hype engine then. God damn it, stop posting stuff.
This is relevant to you.
I know, but I can't use internet on this computer, god damn it.
Okay, never mind then. Well, I still gotta at least hit some of these topics.
Okay. Let's just try to do some rapid fire on some of this.
Some of the stuff is not worth mentioning. At least not worth mentioning for long.
I mean, you have Constantine is dead. I don't watch it.
Neither do I. Therefore, nobody cares.
Legends of Tomorrow? What the hell is that?
Legends of Tomorrow, also known as, hey look, it's not the Super Buddies. It's that movie miniseries thing that's premiering next year with Green Arrow, The Flash, Hawk Girl, The Atom, Firestorm, Captain Cold, and Heatwave.
Wait a minute, is this the WB?
Yep. Oh, and guess who else? MFing Rip Hunter.
Actually, if it's basically a crossover between all the WB shows.
Except they're adding new things, like Hawk Girl.
You know what? I ain't got a problem with that.
Neither do I.
Now that I know what it is, I'm reminded, hey, I actually like this.
Yeah,
this
is actually I saw the trailer. It looks really good. Oh, yeah. Okay. By the way, Rory Williams is a time traveler again. Yay!
Okay. Continue to run through these. Jam and the Holograms.
That hurt to look at.
I never watched the show. Reboot the Guardian Code.
I don't know how to feel.
What's the Guardian Code?
Okay, so they're rebooting Reboot.
Oh! I'm excited for that.
I'm kind of excited, but it's like, yeah, it's a show with young people in the real, it's Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad with Reboot, and Nick's sitcom plots, so I'm like, I don't
know. Just live action?
It's a hybrid show.
Okay.
But I'm like, Reboot was all...
So in other words, it's a live action Johnny Quest with Questworld.
Kinda. I don't know. I don't know yet. All I know is I got this, and I'm like, what am I looking at?
You have here Beyblade live action movie.
Yep.
Movie license. Why?
That's one of the questions I asked. And it was really weird. It's like, okay, so somebody licensed the rights to make a live action Beyblade movie.
Why?
Yep. Why?
Why? Okay, look. I actually like the first season of Beyblade, was the kid with the red jacket and everything, and then like once they go in all the way to Russia and he wins everything and proves it, that was good. And I enjoyed most of like the second series. After that, it was done.
Yeah, and then they rebooted the series with the new kid. And I guess they can keep that going.
And rebooted the series for the new kid, and then rebooted it again with the new kid.
And you know what? I'm okay with that, but here's the problem. How do you do that in a live-action American movie? The premise... I don't think the premise translates. The first Beyblade season borrowed a lot from...
Beyblades are... Just for those who might be curious, they're freaking tops. They're tops that you launch into a plastic stadium thing, and you see which one, and they hit each other, and you see which one goes down first. It's a cartoon to sell toys. It's very good at selling those toys, but it's a cartoon to sell toys. Doesn't need to be made into a live-action movie.
Oh my god. Yeah. And you know, but like I said, I don't, like, the original Beyblade, the one I'm familiar with, it borrowed a lot from Japanese mythology. It borrowed from the spirits of the four protective gods, Byaku, Genbu, Seiryu, Suzaku, Oryu. It borrowed a lot from that to create its mythology of these bit beasts.
Yeah. And then didn't they wipe it out in, like, new seasons?
I don't know what they're doing now. I think what they used a... for one of them, they used a Pegasus-type thing or something like that. Which,
yeah.
But, again, it's... How does this work?
I don't know, and I'm really scared. Again, just to go through some of these real quickly, you have DC Splits page ads.
Those stupid... With the new series or the new number ones coming out, DC is doing these. They're taking the little ads, and instead of putting them on a whole page unto themselves, they're actually cutting the comic pages and putting an ad at the halfway point on the page. So at the middle part of, I think, Batman I saw, in the middle, you on the top, you have the comic, and on the bottom, you have two pages of ads for Twix. I think I just killed you with that statement.
Say that again.
Okay. Take two pages from a comic.
Okay.
Now, when you take the...
Like the front and back of a page?
Yeah. Now, no, wait for it. Like two pages right next to each other. Now, normally when you have a page of ads, that's their own page, right?
Yeah.
Now take that one page of comics, cut the bottom half off. And in the bottom where that where comic used to be, put an ad.
So it's a page and a half of ad?
It's two. It's on two sides. It's one page of ads, sort of, but they're on the bottom.
So really, the front and back of a single page, like the top part is the comic,
and the bottom part is an ad. You know how, like, you get into a flow when reading comics?
Why?
Because DC doesn't love us anymore.
Why? 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 Why?
Why?
Why? Like, I need this shit at night.
Yep.
Go fuck yourself, DC. We're getting, I think, down in the home stretch here.
You missed one. The possible rumors of Jaden Smith being approached to play Virgil Hawkins in Static Shock movie.
Yeah, I was actually going to get to that. That's the one I was going to go back up to because I think we've gone through the quick ones we can go through. But yeah, let's go with it. I don't got a problem with it.
Yeah, neither do I.
I mean, I know people, like, is the last big movie he did was After Earth, which was just shit. But to be fair to both him and Will Smith, I don't place the blame on them. I place the blame on the director, Mr. M. Night Shyamalan a Ding Dong.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
Do you agree?
I'll agree. Well, they helped.
Okay. I'll prove it in one sentence. Avatar.
The Last Airbender?
The live-action movie.
Oh.
I just broke you, didn't I?
No, you just made me sad.
Why M. Night Shyamalan shouldn't direct action movies?
Hmm.
And then, again, to just further my point, watch the Karate Kid remake. That is a great movie. I very much enjoyed it. It was true to the original while being its own thing. Did you watch the Karate Kid remake?
No, I haven't had a chance to.
Oh, you gotta watch it. It's really good. So, you know what? I ain't got a problem with this. I ain't got a problem with a Static Shock live-action movie, because...
Neither do I. I'll talk
about, again, why the 90s were awesome... Putting a shock to your system.
I hope... All I can say is I hope he's a good Virgil. I'm going to give this kid the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, prove to me that you've gotten better at acting. Because if you're still wooden, I'm gonna. Oh my god! I forgot to tell you about
that. Well, let's put it this way: if he screws up Virgil Hawking in Static Shock, we're gonna hit him over the head with something blunt.
I'll hit him over the head with his own tweets.
We'll hit him over the head with his white Batman costume.
I like the white Batman costume. I actually think it suits, you know, considering bats are white more than they're black. Or blue. After these messages, we'll be right
back. Superman. Captain Marvel. Batman.
It is 1985.
Robin of Earth 2.
Sergeant Rock.
The Legion of Superheroes.
This is the most eagerly awaited comic book event in 50 years.
Tommy Tomorrow.
Jonah Hex.
Commandy.
It will one day be called the greatest comic book event of all time.
Swamp Thing.
Wonder Woman.
The New Teen Titans.
The Haunted Tank.
Infinity Incorporated.
Worlds will live.
Green Arrow.
Worlds will die.
Supergirl.
The Flash.
And that is only the beginning.
The Justice League of America.
The All-Star Squadron.
The Huntress.
Ariana.
The Metal Man.
Firestorm. The Nuclear Man.
The Outsiders.
Green Lantern.
The Blue Beetle.
The Crime Syndicate.
Warlord.
The Guardians of the Universe.
Tales of the Justice Society of America proudly presents...
And many, many more.
Crisis on Infinite Earths. The DC Universe will never be the same.
Coming January, only at twotruefreaks.com.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Dad.
We need to record another new trailer.
Another one?
Yes. You know that we read comics and then talk about comics, because as we've established, talking about comics you've not read is just dumb.
Yeah, and you make me do it every Thursday.
Well, we've moved.
Have we?
Yes, we have outgrown our old location.
I don't feel like I've moved.
And we have now moved to twotruefreaks.com.
What was that again?
Twotruefreaks.com. Hey, Kids Comics, still every Thursday at twotruefreaks.com.
My name is Michael Bailey, and I am a terrible geek. I don't watch Doctor Who, I don't care for anime, I've never seen any of the Harry Potter films, much less read the books. I like Star Wars and Star Trek okay, but I've never really ventured far into the extended universes of either property. Hell, I have never even watched a single episode of The Walking Dead. So what do I like?
Comic books.
I've been reading and collecting comic books since 1987, and I've been a fan of superheroes for as long as I can remember. Some would consider this a hobby, but I prefer to look at it as what it truly is, a crippling addiction that I may never recover from. To deal with this borderline personality disorder, I started a podcast in 2007 called
Views from a Long Lost.
Every 2 weeks, or so, depending on real life, I pick a particular series, or issue, or character, or whatever to talk about, and then I talk about them, because that's kind of the point of a podcast. Sometimes I'm alone. Sometimes I have a guest, like my semi-regular co-host, the Irredeemable Shag, or my other semi-regular co-host, Thomas DJ, or with another friend from the podcasting world. The show is located at www.viewsfromthelongbox.com. From there, you can find the iTunes link, the email address, as well as the backlog of episodes.
Views from the Long Box.
A podcast about comics, or a desperate cry for help? You decide. Every other Tuesday, or so, depending on real life, at www.viewsfromthelongbox.com.
And then the other thing that, speaking of people playing characters that made people lose its mind, they released images from the Suicide Squad movie.
Oh, no.
And there were two things to this. One was awesome, one wasn't. The thing that was awesome, let's just get awesome to make it at least feel somewhat better. Will Smith was awesome as Deadshot, and Margaret
Robbins as goddamn Harley Quinn. What is it about Harley Quinn that no one can fucking screw her up? Because goddamn it, I am pretty sure that people have been trying to screw her character up with redesigns and everything, and they just fail.
I don't think it's so much screw her up. I think there's just a lot of characters trying to screw her. She is a little bunny.
Mm-hmm.
She is a randy little bunny.
And goddamn Margaret Roberts. Thank you.
Okay, though my favorite Harley of all time, forever, Injustice Gods Among Us Harley.
Speaking of Harleys, I guess we can bring that up real quick. We'll get to that. That will be the last thing we do in this segment. Injustice Gods, yeah. Love that game.
I love the comic. I mean, it gave me Harley feels. I read the parts with her and Green Arrow, and I'm like, they need to have a show together. Her, Ollie, and
Green, Harley Quinn and Green Arrow. Okay,
they go on a road trip or fight. I mean, her, Ollie, Dinah. I mean, would you not pay to watch Harley Quinn and Oliver Queen give fight commentary about other superheroes?
Yes, I would.
Because, oh my god, it works so well.
By the way, if you wonder why maybe we aren't talking... you could probably talk more on Flash. I haven't really been able to watch any of Flash and Green Arrow over the past year because, you know, super busy, so I apologize for that.
I have not watched Flash since February. I need to sit down and really watch it. But I don't sit down and watch TV anymore. Yep. It's actually kind of annoying.
Yeah, we both... We'll plan on watching, and I think this is a goal for the summer, is by the end of the summer to be able to talk about the seasons of Flash and Green Arrow.
It's so good. I don't know why I'm not watching it more.
Yeah, me too. By the way, speaking of Harley, are you reading the Harley comic?
Intermittently. I've come in here and there, like...
I can't wait to get the next issue and see the gang of Harleys that Harley Quinn has... you know, created.
I've got personal assistants. How can this possibly go wrong?
But again, going back to Suicide Squad, we mentioned we went with Harley because that brings joy to our heart. Now we have to talk about the bad thing. The very bad thing that hurt us and we need to call the cops on them for.
Why, Jared Leto? Why?
You know what? I'm not going to blame Jared Leto.
Really? Because I'm placing the blame squarely on Jared Leto here.
Well, the reason I'm not blaming him is because there's been a picture of him without the tattoos all over his face. And he looks fine. I'm placing this on the director and the producer because... And the design team of the movie? Because I want to know, who designed that? And thought, we're funny. Because you need a shot in the nuts.
Really, like, there were some tattoos I'm kind of okay with. Things like the Joker smile that you're not going to be able to duplicate anywhere else on somewhere on him. And the ha-ha-ha tattoo. That kind of works. But then you get to the grill and the forehead tattoo and some of the other stuff. And I'm like, stop, please. Please, you're a walking doodle.
It was wrong? Because he looked more like one of the leaders of the Joker gangs from Batman Beyond than he did the Joker.
Yes.
And that's ultimately the problem. Hopefully they'll fix it. Hopefully that was just a publicity photo, and we can all laugh about it.
Don't worry, we can fix it in post.
But I swear to God, if he takes his shirt off, which, God, first of all, please don't have the Joker take his shirt off. But if he takes his shirt off and it's filled with goddamn tattoos, somebody's getting a nut shot.
It'll likely be you, let's be fair.
It will be me when I'm going to try to storm the Warner Brothers. I'm like, I got a nut shot for somebody, and then they go and nut shot me.
Yep.
Well, we got to talk about it. We got to talk about it.
Kung Fu Panda 3, I'm sorry, everyone.
Oh, by the way, I'm not looking at your...
I'm just kidding. Kung Fu Panda 3 is going to be awesome. No, we're talking about the fact that John Byrne is a crazy person.
Yeah. By the way, I'm just saying, I'm looking at the picture you posted in Skype of Jubilee. Yeah, I'm happy.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm happy. Okay, so I'll let you do...
So, John Byrne, ladies and gentlemen, is a crazy person. You don't have to guess. You don't have to, you know, question it. Is John Byrne a crazy person? John Byrne is a crazy person. That's your fact of the day. So John Byrne could not stand the idea of fans contradicting him. So instead of going on things like Tumblr or Twitter or Facebook, John Byrne thinks it's 1999 and set up a message board for himself.
To be fair, there's a lot of creators that have message boards for themselves. I mean, goddamn Brian Michael Bendis.
Yes. And some creators are good people. They just should not have an internet connection. John Byrne is not one of those people. Because John Byrne says things. And when John Byrne says things, puppies die. And recently, somebody asked John Byrne what he thought about Bruce, now Caitlyn Jenner. And John Byrne rambled. He rambled like the complete lunatic he is. He talked about how transgender people have problems and transgender people are ill, and as somewhere in there, he compared transgender people to pedophiles. And I don't know where he was going with that, but when part of your argument is to compare a collection of people with such a severe form of body and gender dysmorphia that they need to perform surgery to put themselves into the body they imagine they feel they belong in, and when you compare them to pedophiles, who are people who also have problems, except their problem ends up getting somebody hurt. Very hurt. So when you compare one to the other, you might be an awful person. I'm just going to throw that out there. You might be an awful person. And he did this not once in his rambling, incoherent reaction. He did it somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 times. It was so bad that a blog, which is dedicated to repinning the insane rambling bullshit that Bruce Jenner said, that John Byrne says, could not repost it. They could not comment on it. They just were like, I'm done. I'm good. See you guys later. That's fucked up.
Can I jump in here?
Go, do.
Okay. I'm not going to say he's right by any means. I mean, crazy, absolutely. If I may be allowed, though, to try to translate crazy.
Please, do.
I don't think he was trying to say that transgender is as bad as pedophilia. Because I don't think he was necessarily saying that, as he was trying to talk about what we consider mental illness. And how what we once considered mental illness, we don't anymore. And how if we consider somebody mental ill, we sometimes just say they're mental ill and they're horrible people. Whatever. And I don't think he was trying to go somewhere, and unfortunately I can't figure out after that where he was trying to go with it. And I think the way he phrased it made him, certainly, without a doubt, made him look horrible.
Yeah, no, that about covers it.
I mean, am I wrong on anything there?
No, he made an ass of himself.
Oh, absolutely. I just don't think he... The only thing I'm just... I don't think his intention was to compare transgenderness to pedophilia. But unfortunately, the way he worded it, it did.
Yep.
It's one of... You know what? John Byrne, for I mean, which is surprising, because John Byrne, you know what, let's be honest about it. John Byrne is a good writer.
Oh.
He wrote some really good stuff in the, I mean, pretty much the Superman we consider Superman, Superman of the 90s, created by John Byrne.
Yes. Oh, nobody is questioning John Byrne's talents as a writer. Like, Frank Miller, when he's not writing comics, he seems like a pretty decent guy. But when you put him behind a typewriter, he's a lunatic. John Byrne has the exact opposite problem. When you give him a character to do, he does good things.
To be fair, I think pretty much all of us can agree that John Byrne probably started losing his mind when he tried to work with Bob Harris, Harass, and Joe Quesada, and the rest of Marvel, and trying to ruin Peter Parker's marriage to MJ the first time they tried that shit in the late 90s, and that failed completely. And at the same time tried to recreate what the Avengers were, and it failed completely. And I don't think that's a controversial statement, because I think we're pretty much all in agreement for the most part. Maybe not completely on the Avengers. I know we're completely in agreement on Spider-Man, because he almost got Amazing Spider-Man canceled. In fact, he did get it canceled for a couple months, so they brought it back in Volume 2, which then eventually got switched back to the original numbering.
Yep. And then there was that crossover with Batman where Batman looked at Spider-Man and was like, "Do you bleed? You will.
Do you wear hockey pants?
You will." Oh my god.
To be fair, I do believe Joan Byrne did have a hand in, I could be wrong on that, on one of the Spider-Man Superman crossovers.
I can believe that.
No. But, you know, I think we're all in agreement here. You know, again, I'm saying surprising because, you know, as a writer, you think he'd be able to, you know, proofread his own shit and see, wow, that's probably not the way I want this to come out. But instead, he did not learn anything from one famous Jets coach and not press send. So I believe in what I read of the statement that I don't think his intention was to say that they are the same, and he was trying to talk about how we look at mental illness. That the way he phrased it just came out completely wrong.
It came out as the insane ramblings of a crazy old man.
I mean, you've read it like apparently so many times now. You can tell me if I'm wrong in my opinion of how
no,
I.
No, actually, you're not really that wrong. I could still make fun of John Byrne for being a crazy person.
Okay. No, I'm not saying don't make fun of him for being a crazy person. And not proofreading his own shit. I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm trying to tread carefully here, because Lord knows, this is one of those things where, oh my god, you're defending John Byrne, you must think pedophilia is okay! Which, let's be honest, as anime fans, Edwin, we get enough of that shit as it is.
Twincest is best. Da-da-da-da. Alright.
God damn it!
Welcome to the anime community, where if she looks like a grown woman, there must be something wrong with her. Look, I hate other geeks, so you're talking to the wrong guy about treading carefully.
So I think the last thing we'll talk about, because goddamn, we've been probably going on this for about an hour now. Before we get into our views on what's happening with Marvel and DC and Convergence and Secret Wars, And take a nice time to break as well.
Oh, yeah. The all-new, all-different Marvel and Red Wolf it was. And how the Native American community went, what?
Wait a minute, what's Red Wolf?
He is a DC, he's a Marvel superhero. And he's apparently being reintroduced into the Marvel Universe. And on that poster of the all-new, all-different Marvel, there is a Native American character who looks like he stepped out of a Cowboys and Indians movie. It's just like, well, that happened.
Well, again, actually, that's not where I was going to. But in regards to all-new Marvel and DC and that stuff, it's Marvel being Marvel. But also, we'll talk more about that again, because we'll be talking all that with Secret Wars and that stuff. Now, I wanted to talk about the last thing of shit we've missed that we really didn't miss is the launch of the new Bruce Timm Justice League series.
Oh, I missed that.
On God. Oh, you did not see the first episode?
No.
Of Batman and Harley Quinn. Okay.
Send me that later. Send me that later.
I will send it to you later, but I got, like, holy shit. Did the internet lose? Half the internet, the internet lost its collective mind, but half of it lost its mind because it thought it was awesome. The other half is like, what the goddamn fuck is this? Because you have Batman as a vampire, Harley Quinn in garter belts, and,
I fail to see the problem.
Garter belts and this costume, where she's a psychopathic killer. Literally, you know, Batman comes in his hunting, and he comes into this meat storage locker, and there are bodies and body parts and heads in the freezer.
Gross.
Gets downstairs, finds a girl, rescues her. Harley Quinn is, like, chasing them with a chainsaw. Gets put into this room, and there are these dead bodies with flies flying around them, with smiles on their face, and there's mom, dad, little Jimmy's on the floor, and good old grandma. And there's this picture of them all posing together with Harley. It's really fucked up.
Well, Harley is a crazy killer woman. You know, and as much as we love her, she is a crazy killer woman.
Yep. I enjoyed it. I have not watched the... Because the second episode is apparently out with Latino Superman.
Oh?
Well, this Superman comes from Mexico.
I'm okay with that.
And I'm trying to remember what character he deals with. I can't remember. I think it's Brainiac or something like that. So I haven't seen that second episode yet. And then, of course, there's Wonder Woman. Oh, God, what was Wonder Woman? What did they do different with Wonder Woman? I can't remember for the life of me. Anyways, all I know is that she's, like, in this white armor thing or whatever. So, yeah, that's it for the shit that we've missed and made the internet lose its collective fucking mind.
One last thing! Oh, my God! And I'm surprised you didn't notice in the pictures. There is a variant cover of The Flash coming up with him and Green Lantern, John Stewart. And this cover, unless you blow it up, there is a bunch of blink and you miss it cameos in there. Such as Mr. Mixie's Pitlick. I think either Dr. Fate or Etrigan. Wonder Woman. Superman. Orion. Hawkman. Parademons.
Is that fucking Galactus?
And Galactus, yep.
Okay, hold on. I see Superman, I see Hawkman. There's Mrs. Pitlick. There's Mr. Miracle. There's Wonder Woman. Because, yeah, I've taken it and I've blown it the fuck up. There's Orion. Because they're being chased by the whatevers from Darkseid.
Oh,
like.
Oh, I almost forgot one. What, by the signature. My favorite hero, your favorite hero, Ambush Bug!
What the fuck is Galactus doing there?
Chilling out.
And there's Silver Surfer by him, too. Do you see him?
Yep.
God damn it!
Yep. Galactus and the Silver Surfer just chilling out in the DC Universe.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm looking at that Jubilee picture again. Yes, thank you.
Put your pants back on, you sicko.
I have my pants on.
Zip up.
I am. There's no zipper on this. These are sweat shorts. And welcome back. And, well, to wrap up the show, we're going to talk about our thoughts on Convergence on, and on what DC is now going into. And, of course, Marvel and going into Secret Wars. So whose shit do you want to start with first?
Let's start with DC.
Okay.
Because Convergence made me happy. What happened afterward doesn't.
Well, let's be honest on why Convergence made us happy. I don't think any of us really read the main... I know I didn't read the main Convergence storyline. What I did read, however, was all the little tie-in issues when they went back to our favorite characters. And my God... Okay, Superman and Lois and their baby. Thank you.
Dick married to Barbara Gordon and Coriander. Yeah,
he did.
Two different universes, two different dicks.
Hey,
the Teen Titans dick, which Disco Wing, was married to Starfire.
In the Teen Titans one.
Yep, and in the Birds of Prey / Nightwing, he's married to Barbara Gordon.
Wait. In the Teen Titans one, is he already married?
Yep.
Okay, that's why I'm confused.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that vibe. Because, goddamn, I'm like, wait a minute. I got because I have the issue, and by the way, I loved it, because again, them, that. And then, of course, Jericho and, God, I'm blanking on her name. And then, of course, it's classic Titans. And, of course, it's Starfire in the original costume.
And Titans acting like good people.
Both Titan issues.
Yeah.
My God. Because there was the new Teen Titans, and then there was the Titans issue where it was, I believe, Donna Troy, Starfire, and Red Arrow.
And Red Arrow wasn't acting like a bag of issues.
He wasn't a douchebag. He saved his daughter... And brought, daughter got brought back to tease him, but he was able to save her. And, as the other Titans went off the battle, he stayed behind to protect her.
Fuck your continuity. I'm Roy Harper.
I'm like, it's a happy ending. You have that. My God, fucking Batgirl. The return of Stephanie Brown, and it ends with her and Tim kissing. I'm like... Thank you, God!
Yeah.
Thank you, God!
This, of course, saddens my friend Brian, who rigorously ships Tim and Connor.
Tim and Connor. Oh, and by the way...
One of the writers ships...
Wait. And just to add to it, in that Batgirl, also a part of it was Cassandra fucking Cain!
Cassandra Cain is my favorite when she's with Stephanie.
I mean, my God!
Because it's so... Here's the thing. The Bat Kids, they're kind of generic, but when you put them together, they get so easy to write and so much fun.
My God, please, can we have a series of Tim, Cassandra, and Stephanie working together?
You know what that would mostly involve? The big monster thing comes out, Cassandra pats Tim and Stephanie on the back and goes, "You fight him."
By the way, and I don't love that whole full part because the whole thing is they're stuck in these domes, and Cassandra's like looking at their hamster like, "Can I eat it? Can I eat it? Can I eat it?"
I love Cassandra.
It's like, no, we do not eat pets. Pets aren't food. And I'm like, I've once again, a Stephanie Brown Batgirl comic has taken me back to Disney. And I say that, and mind you, I pulled the issue out as well, because there was a Batgirl issue where she teams up with Supergirl. And I said this to my, like, and I was way too overly excited about this reference. Because I kept telling my friends, like, it's a reference, it's a reference, it's so cool! But there's a point where Supergirl yells out as they're touring Stephanie's campus, "Look at this stuff, isn't it neat?" And every time I read it, I can't help but complete by going, "Neat. Wouldn't you say my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm a girl?
Stop.
A girl
stop.
Has everything.
Stop.
What?
No.
I mean, goddammit, I'm singing good Disney."
Yeah, it's all good Disney. But stop.
I got gizmos and gadgets aplenty.
Cassandra Cain, I mean, like I said, the Bat Kids are just so much fun to do together.
Yeah.
Okay. Mental scene for you. Ready?
Yeah.
Bruce walks in, still half in uniform. The Robins have been having a boys' night together, including Stephanie. So basically the Bat Kids. He walks in, he sees Dick and Tim playing a video game, Stephanie putting together a puzzle. Looks around. Where are Jason and Damien? Tim doesn't look up. He goes, the Dead Robin Club went out on a fried chicken run. They should be back any minute. Dick goes, yeah, they've been gone kind of a while. I hope everything's okay.
City blows up.
Stephanie from her puzzle. I mean, what could... come on, it's the two of them. What could possibly go wrong? Cut, hard cut. Car chase with Jason, Tip, with Jason and Damien, the mob and the police. In the driver's seat is Jason driving. We're repeating over and over again, this isn't my fault, this isn't my fault. In the passenger seat, in full Robin regalia, with a bucket of chicken in his lap, is Damien saying, this is absolutely your fault.
We have to make this happen. Yes! Yes, we have to make this happen. Somebody at DC make this goddamn motherfucking happen.
Like, the Bat Kids are so easy to do together.
Yeah. This has to happen. Oh, you made my night. Convergent was, like, just all of that.
Yeah.
For the most part, all the tie-ins were just beloved sort of, like, love stories and, like, goodnight kisses.
Classic Captain Marvel.
To our favorite characters. I mean, the Supergirl comic, which was Matrix Supergirl. I laughed my ass off on that two-parter. And then there's, like, the ultimate joke at the end where Supergirl has had enough of Lex Luthor 3 shit. It's like, I knew you'd break it. And like, wait, what are you doing? What, stop! Pow, pee, pop, pow. And then she comes back up. I'm sorry, I had to take care of something. Where were we? Continue mega fight. And when Ambush Bug there is like playing the... And the part of Batmite will be played by Ambush Bug.
And no one was able to tell the difference.
They know what we need to do? We need to get Howard the Duck, Spider-Ham to do a crossover with Ambush Bug and Batmite.
Or you could get Mr. Mixius Pitlick together with Ambush Bug and the Joker, and their conversation would confuse everyone. All three characters who are aware they're comic book characters.
By the way, I showed people, see, this is why we love comics. Because this is all about continuity. I just like to point this out.
Hey, remember that thing that happened? Yeah, it matters here.
Yep.
Whereas the new 52 has been, hey, remember all that stuff that happened? Don't worry about it.
Well, and they've also, you know, since we've gone, they've just recently, this month has been the launch of the new number ones.
Yep.
Which I got the Batman Beyond one. I'm interested because, of course, Terry McGinnis has died.
Whoop.
But he's given... The story is that he died, and I don't know which Tim he gave it to. I'm guessing the new 52 one. But he gave the Batman Beyond suit to Tim, and Tim has gone into the future, or at least into that dystopian future where Brother I took over or whatever, because, again, it's part of the Future Ends storyline, and is now taken over as Batman Beyond.
That's just awful. I mean, it's interesting, but Future's End...
Yeah. And it ended with him running into Max and Detective Gordon, who are running the Resistance in New York.
And, of course, Tim has to hit on Max.
No, he didn't.
Give it time.
Tim Drake we're talking about, not
yeah,
fucking
Yeah, it's New 52, Tim Drake. No, the one that had sex with Wonder Girl.
He didn't have sex. He kissed Wonder Girl and then kissed...
No, they did it.
They did it?
They did it.
Okay, which issue so I can go back and look at this? For research, mind you. Research!
Uh-huh. I don't remember.
God help me. So anyways, I mean, I am interested, like, for instance, I'm interested in Red Hood, and, because again, Red Hood,
Red Helmet.
Red Hood, Red Arrow, or it could be Red Hood, Arsenal, and of course Starfire, I'm interested in both of those. Of course, we're going to be continuing with Harley. Of course, we're also getting Harley and Power Girl by Amanda Connor and goddamn Jimmy Palmiotti, who, by the way, are also doing Starfire, which is going to be, a series that takes place in between two comics of the Harley Quinn series, where during the team-up of Harley Quinn and Power Girl, they got lost into an alternate dimension, and then when it came back in the next issue, it's like, man, all that shit that happened. Well, that's what the series is going to be about, and I can't wait to read it.
And let's a Starfire comic that understands Starfire.
Oh, have you read it yet?
I've seen stills of it.
Here's the thing. I'm going to be very interested in how they do the outfit change, because in one of the reviews I read is that they covered it. I know two things: that one, that Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor are going to do it good, and that they're going to do it in a way that's not condescending to those who like the old costume.
Yeah. Any hoozy, what's it?
Well, I guess so. I guess you're happy that the old costume is gone.
Yes, I like it when Corey puts on outfits that aren't impossible or, you know, completely. The Corey I know, I knew 80s Corey and I knew 90s Corey, but the Corey that resonates to me is Teen Titans Corey.
Like Teen Titans the cartoon?
Yeah. I mean, I did grow up with Starfire as, you know, the character that she was circa, 52, I think it was. But I still love that Starfire the most. Not because she had clothes, but because she was just so much fun. She was still Corey with all of her love and friendly and bubbliness. And the fact that I really love that weird speech thing where she did, "We are going," like, she sounded like a person who's not used to speaking English.
I don't know if you're going to get that completely here, but I think you're definitely going to get more of a fun Starfire.
Yeah, you're not. We're not getting.
And don't get me wrong. I have no problem with a more fun Starfire, but I just think that a lot of people are very, aren't giving Red Hood and the Outlaws and Starfire in there a fair shake.
Red Hood and the Outlaws did it to themselves.
Okay, but it's because everybody judges it on the first issue.
Yeah, because that people aren't going to come back to something that makes them angry. And that seems to be DC's. DC has the world.
But again, we mentioned it earlier, going back to context.
DC has the worst public relations department I've ever seen.
Okay, let's be fair about this. Both Marvel and DC have equally awful PR. Okay? I mean, that's the one is worse. They're both worse because they're so condescending, and they do not know how to promote these characters. Nobody in either Marvel or DC knows how to promote their goddamn characters. Really, all the people in DC know how to is how to promote Batman, and all the people in Marvel know how to promote, at least right now, is the goddamn Avengers, because that's all that works for them. Let's be fair about that.
At least it's not goddamn Wolverine anymore.
Number two, again, I go back to context. People, for whatever reason, have any emotional contact that they had with Corey, and now it's changed. And don't get me wrong, I understood that. But because trust me, I had it too going into the new 52. I didn't even initially pick up Red Hood and the Outlaws. The first two issues were sent to me by Donovan Morgan Grant, our good friend. So, I wanted to know what I thought of it. Well, I wasn't going to give it a thought, but then I looked at it, and I looked back at the two issues with context. And I'm like,
I guess I can see why people are angry, but I also can see where they can go with this, and now I'm interested in it, and then I ended up getting it, and I've been reading it since its beginning, and I have enjoyed it. And there have been storylines that people, you know, the whole storyline of them go, you know, Corey's lost ship coming, and her, I guess we'll call it her pirate gang coming, and them being with them on like a Star Wars-like adventure. That was just fun. In which Starfire wore a completely different costume that covered her entire body, by the way.
But she has to show skin because her powers and whatever.
Well, no, that has nothing to do with that.
I'm just making fun of the fans.
I understand that. And mind you, I can make an argument about why I like her old costume and why it does work. But at the same point in time, look, and I said this online, I have no problem with characters, both men and women, having multiple costumes.
Yeah.
My problem is when a costume is changed for PC, political, and, you know, appeasement reasons. And I've said that...
Man, you would hate the Wonder Woman Sensation Comics thing where she had, like... Where she was basically wearing... The costumes... Granted, she was doing it for her own reasons, but she had... A costume of her, big, what was it? She changed outfits because at some rescue, some news site took a picture of her butt, and they were talking more about the cellulite than the save. And then another time where she was in, I think, a hijab, but when she just came from India.
Yeah.
It was all very PC looking.
First of all, Wonder Woman being offended by people looking at her butt, she wouldn't care. She'd just call them, bastard men and be done with it. Because it's like typical men.
No, see, that's not the Wonder Woman I know. See.
Well, but, or at least, if we're going back to, like, her first coming to America.
This isn't her first coming to America.
Okay, so it is. Okay.
This is a pre-new. This is old 52 Wonder Woman.
Okay. Either way, Well, then again, old 52, as in like before Convergence?
No.
Or you mean before 52 started?
Yes. If I'm getting this properly.
But either way, Wonder Woman would not care what people thought of her.
We're gonna disagree on this one.
Well, but I mean, like, the Wonder Woman I remember reading, in particular, Wonder Woman I saw as part of, like, the Batman Superman comic, and Justice League and all that, just didn't care what people... I mean, mind you, and again, I'm not saying they get... Like, for instance, when Wonder Woman changed her outfit in 600, and she had the tight leather pants and the jacket, I loved that costume. I didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, there were issues, mostly because it was really 90s.
I didn't care. I liked that costume.
I liked the idea of the pants. The pants were a good touch. Some of the decisions were weird.
Anyways, but let's not get into that. And then, of course, there's things we don't like. Like, speaking of Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman's costume.
Oh, sweet Jesus, that thing is a mistake.
I'm glad we agree on this one.
Oh my god, the thing is...
It's horrid, there's no color scheme to it.
It's just so...
There's nothing about it that screams Wonder Woman!
It's like, hey, so Wonder Woman's now Kratos, right?
Yeah. Basically, that's what it is. She's a god and a queen, and she's now Kratos. Yeah, I think that was on a review I was reading that the indication was that the reason she changed, and mind you, I do get Wonder Woman, so I'll give a definite answer in this next episode, but that, that she's a queen now, and that, I guess, a princess wears booty shorts, and a queen doesn't. Or something like that. I don't know.
It depends on your queen.
Yeah. Like, if it's the Queen of San Francisco, it's definitely booty shorts. Anyways, there's that. Then there's Batman. Hold the fuck shit.
This is where what I mean when I say DC has some of the worst PR I've ever seen. Because, okay, you have the suit we saw towards the end of that issue. And then you have Bunny Mech. They should have...
Iron Bunny, as done by DC.
It's Captain Carrot, the Robo-Mech. You open with the black Batman bodysuit thing.
I love the bodysuit. That's just so much more Batman. And it's just like... I love how you put it. And if they had done it the way you put it earlier before we started recording, you know, I think it'd be an awesome comic to wear. This is a new Batman suit, and then the suit of armor is the new Batmobile.
Yep.
And if they had done it that way, that I could have seen working.
Yeah, that nobody would have complained. But like you insinuated a few months back, it seems like DC's whole MO is to get people complaining.
Yep.
Yep.
And then, of course, we finally get to what you've wanted to talk about, because you sent me a link a week ago saying we are talking about this next time we record. Superman!
Oh my god, the awfulness that is the new soup. Everything, nothing good is about this. There is nothing good about this new Superman thing.
Well, apparently to them, you know, there is that scene where Wonder Woman's comforting him in bed. It's like, it shows you how protective and, like, how strong.
You know what? Actually, I don't mind that so much, because at least she's not abandoning him because he lost his powers. And she's not being Lois Lane, who was like, hey, you know this friend, this guy who was my friend? Yeah, never mind. Reporters!
Yeah, well, I'm not agreeing with it just because, you know, it's like, really, we gotta continue down this romance that, I'm sorry, I really have felt the romance of Superman and Wonder Woman is not necessary. You didn't need to do that.
They're funny books where people hit each other. Romance is really not necessary in general.
Yeah, but, like, really, if you wanted to do a different character, it couldn't be, like, Lana Lang, you know, his other love interest, that a lot of people do care about, that would make sense.
Alright.
Because we all know this is going back to him and Lois Lane eventually falling in love and whatever.
You know, at this point, the Wonder Woman-Superman relationship is grandfathered in. It's been, I think, a year or so.
It's stupid. It just is. It just makes no sense.
Alright.
But, of course, that's not what you wanted to talk about, though.
Yeah, no, it's just the whole thing of, like, he has no powers. He's edgy. It's like...
No, he's not.
They wanted to make him... They wanted... John Romita Jr. We needed to make him a little more Brooklyn. They want to make him Batman.
Exactly! They want to make every character Batman! They've been trying to make every character Batman since 2005! Where have you been?
And the best part is, they made Batman someone else.
God damn it! Ugh, the felt.
Yeah.
It's just like, you missed the point of Superman. Superman's not Superman because of the powers of... Superman is Superman because of Clark Kent, his actual identity. And what makes Clark Kent, the teachings instilled to him by his adoption parents, the Kents, is the ideas of truth, justice, and the American way, and all that jazz, that makes up Clark Kent. And that's who Superman really is. Because... even without his powers, he's somebody who will go out and do things and save people.
And you know, at least he's still that guy, but they are going about this in...
Superman now.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw Clark Kent.
because that's just too childish of an idea.
Yeah, oh my god, we live in the information age. A secret identity is ridiculous.
Bullshit.
Which is why we still have guys putting on masks and fighting.
Exactly. I mean, if a secret identity is stupid, then why does anybody have a costume and anybody have a mask?
And that is where I'm going to end it. Yeah, I know. You know, we promised to talk about Marvel. We're probably going to switch that over to next episode, next new episode to come out, which will be officially episode 5, I guess. We'll have lots to talk about Marvel because we'll have Secret Wars to talk about. We will have the new titles, which as of the editing and recording this little segment, they've just announced. And plus many more. Just plainly, yeah, after discussing things like Jared Leto's Joker and, you know, the insanity of the new 52 in particular, what they've done to Superman, may they go to hell. That's DC now texting me, telling me, Mr. Mattis, we are informing you that we are suing you for telling us to go to hell. Well, screw you, DC! But anyways, we're going to end it. Next episode, we'll talk about Marvel, we'll talk Secret Wars, we'll talk all the new comics that have been announced. Plus, Edwin, I'm sure, is going to have another full list of stuff for us to lose our absolute minds off of. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, comic book fans, make sure you stay with the Absolution Network and the Intergalactic Graphic Review. So until next time, stay Goldier.
Hope you enjoyed it. This is Tom signing off. And until we meet again, you know the rest.